Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and we are talking waiver wire pickups for round 22 and just what's happened in round 21. We are in the midst of our fantasy finals. I hope you are doing well, unlike myself, who is currently 50 points down in a prelim final. So I am sweating bullets at the moment. But to be fair, this guy, Stevie Fizz, he's cool as a cucumber as he is in no fantasy finals this week, as he's either been eliminated or he's had the week off with the bye. So how you feeling, pal?
Well, I'm stressing, actually, Jono, because I've got my first NFL draft of the season coming up in about 2 hours. Zero prep.
Yeah, gut feeling. I love it.
Just going off the gut feeling. One of the top running backs who would have been in one of the top three picks, suspended for 6 games over the weekend.
Need to go through 3 years worth of domestic violence against his missus.
Bad times for him. But on the other hand, I'm very happy because I got a new microphone, Jono. Saved up all the money from Dry July, and because we're all about improving the show. Took those monies and invested in a new microphone. Baby Fizz is going hungry, but I've got a new microphone.
As long as we got the new mic, it's all good.
That's it.
And as always, the Statesman is here. He's kicking back. He's in prelims. He's had the buys. He's, except for the podcasters leagues, where he's gone out in straight sets, which is very unstatesman-like. So welcome to you, pal.
Hashtag brand, mate. That's about a salary cap league, so we won't talk about that one tonight. Plus, I lost, so that's probably the main reason. But no, my draft leagues, I had 4 straight through the preliminaries, 1 in the semi-finals this week, and that was in the keeper league, and that's clearly taken the points, even though my captain this week in that league was Lachie Neale. Had a bit of a quiet one after his 150. But anyway, that's okay through. Hopefully, it'll be much better next week.
Yes, and over the weekend, there wasn't as much carnage as it was last weekend. So hopefully, we'll get all these studs back for your prelim or grand final, wherever you're up to in your fantasy finals. But just want to get your thoughts on the Toby Green, Jackie Chan impersonation. Does he get weeks, or do you think he'll be right?
Well, I think he gets weeks because even if you argue that he's protecting himself, it's a high fend off at the very least. It's not a good look, but that's my layman's take.
Yeah, it's hard for me to read into it. I've only briefly seen it, to be honest. I understand that it doesn't look good, so it'll be interesting to see if they're going to take a stand on this one or not. I'm a little bit unsure. It is certainly players have got away with that before, but it's certainly something you don't want it creeping into the game.
Yeah, I'm just going to give him weeks because of the flog factness, but I'm sure he enjoyed a Palmer at Sagami's after the game anyway.
I love Toby Green.
He's a flog. Can't stand him.
No, but it's not like he's so good. He's just got, like, who cares?
He's a good player. But he's just got that head you want to punch. Seriously.
It's not like Stephen Milne. Like, where Stephen Milne was good, I just wanted to belt Stephen Milne. But I don't know. Toby Green, there's something about him. Maybe it's because he hasn't kicked any Collingwood players, to my knowledge.
Yet. Well, he's got a long career ahead of him.
You've got that Bulldogs factor because he kicked a Bulldogs player.
Twice.
There you go.
Punch one. It's just early in the year.
So. Salty.
No salt. But injuries coming out over the weekend. We had Nick Newman go down in the third quarter there. Been a pretty good player for us. Didn't look too serious, but he did sit out the last quarter, so probably just resting him up for the finals as they are in some pretty hot form. Reece Stanley, he came back into the team probably just for the week as Tomahawk was out. He went off with a calf injury. He was actually playing quite well before he did go off. Josh Caddy could be a saving grace in my home league here. He went off with a hamstring. He was actually looking pretty decent in the first few minutes. He was up and about and scoring pretty well. Rory Sloan's going to be one to watch this week. He copped a bit of a knock to his knee on Saturday night, and he was on AFL game day in the morning. He said he's been icing it up all night. So could be a bit of bone bruising and one to watch for the week, because if he's out, it's a big loss for the Crows, especially since they're up against us, the Swans this week. And Kobe Stevens went off in the game against Melbourne. It was a concussion / busted eardrum. So not good there for Kobe Stevens, who's been having a pretty good year fantasy-wise. But if you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and search The Draft Doctors on Facebook. But we are talking waiver wire pickups tonight, and when we do, we have our 65% rule on Ultimate Footy, just so if you're playing in those shallower leagues, it gives everyone a bit of a chance to pick these players up. And as always, Steve, kicking us off, pal.
Yeah, Jono, well, looking at the pool this week, not great. Feeling very despondent, to be honest. And it's an interesting thing because there's basically no midfielders left. And I had a look during the week as to the owner, like what was the draft percentage of some of these guys who have blown up from the midfield and from the defenders and forwards. And of the top 100 averaging midfielders on Ultimate Footy, only two of them had had a draft rate of under 40%. One of them was Mitch Hallahan, who has only played one game, and one of them was Alex Witherden, who's also a defender. But you could draft, I think there was six or seven forwards and defenders who were inside the top 50 averaging players who had a draft rate of 10% or under. So isn't it funny? People say you don't really need to worry about midfielders. Midfielders are very, very important, especially at the end of the year when they're all going down. But we'll kick off the waiver wires with Jackson Thurlow, defender for the Cats. We know that's generally a pretty handy matchup for defenders. I'm sitting here looking at Hamish Hartlett on 70 Dream Team points at 10 minutes into the third quarter. That can't be a bad thing. So he's only 22% owned in leagues. He's scored 84 and 90 Dream Team the last 2 weeks. So I certainly think that's not a bad play, Jackson Thurlow. Also, Aaron Mullett is also available. And he went all right again today. Ruckman, there's really only one with a decent available rate. And that's probably Dan Curry. He's playing Essendon. If Lundberg is in, he might not get many hit-outs, but look, he can make it up around the ground. I don't think he was too bad this week. It's only 46% owned, so he could probably do worse. A couple of midfielders. Billy Hartung played pretty well today. He's 64% owned. Hawthorn are playing Carlton, so I'm thinking it's probably going to be another open sort of matchup. Carlton seem to have pulled the defensive strings out of their game, and they're letting their players play a bit freer against Hawthorn. That should mean turnovers, and the running players will do okay. Also got Matt Rosa against Essendon this week, midfielder, 60% ownership. He'd be good for 85, I would imagine. That's not going to break any records, but he might save your butt. And just one forward this week who I like, and that's Jade Gresham, playing North Melbourne. He's only 22% owned. Scored a 79 Dream Team and 85 Dream Team in the last 2 weeks. We know small forwards are doing okay against North Melbourne under the lid. I reckon that'll be a pretty decent game. Gresham's a pretty handy player as well, mind you.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't mind them at all. And who have you got there, Statesman?
Yeah, as always, at the end of the year, I try and pick the best player available for each of the lines. And for the ruck, I've gone Braden Pruce, North Melbourne ruck, owned by 60%. He is clearly the best ruck option for the Kangaroos. And if he gets the opportunity as the clear number one, he will score well, 80s this week. But obviously he was sharing that with Goldstein. But Goldstein, boys, just looks off the mark, off the ball. I think you've got Benny Brown who can fill that space of giving Pruce a bit of a rest. So if that's the way the club goes, I think Braden Pruce would be a great ruckman for the last 2 weeks of finals. Moving on to the forward line, I mentioned this young man there last week. He scored 85 this week, and that's Ryan Clark, forward for North Melbourne, only owned by 40%, but that's up from 13% last week. He is in great form. He's continued that this weekend. He's averaging 86 in his last 3 weeks, and he's up against the Saints next week. So that's Ryan Clark for North Melbourne. In the midfield, I did have Billy Hartung, so already covered that through Steve's. So in the defensive line, I've gone Jimmy Webster. Now, Jimmy's a bit of a hit and miss. He is a running machine, and he is one that they use up for that link-up play, and has got a great left foot on him. He can be that hit and miss, as I explained, but in the last month he's been more hits than he has misses, and he's up against North Melbourne, so I think that rebound play will certainly be beneficial for his scoring. He's only owned by 61%. That's Jimmy Webster, gentlemen. You're a fan.
Love it.
Yeah, no, I love it.
Even like the Proust pick, to be honest, going up against the Saints Rucks, we know that's been not daunting at all.
Oh, Billy Long has been scoring all right, though. Yeah, he turned up again in Super.
Doesn't mean the other guy's not scoring well.
Yeah, that's true. Unless they bring in Hickey again for a 2-game.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. He was my first Ruckman pick in the Keeper League, Hickey. What a disgraceful pick that was.
Are you going to keep him?
He's already gone.
I think I might have picked him up. No, but I don't have many myself this week. As Steve said, it's pretty hard towards the end of the year. Just got a couple of matchup picks for you. Dan Rioli in Supercoach, only owned by 10% of leagues. They are up against Frio, who look like they have put the queue in the rack. The small forwards do pretty well against Frio as well, so they'd be pretty angry after dropping that game to the Cats as well, the Tigers. Look for them to bounce back and put on a big score, you'd expect. Jeffy Garlett and the D's up against the Lions this week. They've been playing some pretty open football, the Lions, and some pretty good football as well. In 39% of teams, again, the small forwards just get the job done as well. And one that's just slightly over our threshold is Lucky Henderson from the Cats, 67%. As we know, the defenders do score well against the Pies. If he's in your league, pick him up, because he actually has been scoring pretty well the last couple of weeks as well. And if you do like the show, please do check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button. That way the show drops each and every week to your device.
We're also on Podbean.
Podbean as well. I'll add that as well to the list. What is Podbean?
I don't know. We're on it, though. I didn't even do anything. It's just we're on it. And we've actually got we've got more listeners there than Stitcher. We've been on Stitcher from the start. I don't know what's going on. Modern technology, Jono. It's baffling.
Yep. It is certainly is. Podbean as well. Hit the subscribe button. It comes straight to your device or wherever you're listening to it. And if you've got a few minutes, hit the review button. Leave a review. It only takes a couple of minutes. We really appreciate it. Read it out on air. So please hit the review button. But now we are talking a bit of review of round 21. And it kicked off on Friday night with the Doggies taking on the Giants. It was a pretty good game up until half time, and then the Doggies decided to put the queue in the rack, and it's pretty much what you expected from their fantasy scores as well. Lucky Hunter, another ton in Dream Team, been fantastic the last probably month now, just the 80 in Supercoach. It was the Bont, again, trying his best. Had that mix again of forward midfield time. Got you the ton in Supercoach, not so much Dream Team. Bobby Murphy was pretty good. He floated forward, kicked a goal, got you the ton in Supercoach. Travis Cloak, he's been pretty okay the last couple of weeks. Got you 90 in Supercoach again this week, but a lot of down performances from the Bulldogs. Jack McRae, 60s. Luke Dalhouse, 60s. And Toby McLean as well, he's been going quite well, only scores in the 70s. But I imagine there would have been a lot of tons and scores in the GWS there, Steve.
I did want to bring attention to Luke Dalhouse. Should have been on a headbutting chart. No, look, it is back. We said it last week, the running, the wheels, the ball movement from GWS, it is great to watch, and it was there in spades, especially in the second half, as Jono mentioned. Dylan Shiel, I thought, was pretty good. They tried to give him some attention, and that ended pretty quickly. 110, 116. Josh Kelly, if I was an opposition coach, I'd be tagging the hell out of him because he's so dangerous forward to centre. Just seems he just runs in and kicks goals every week. 110, 132. Super coach, Zach Williams, doing nicely now. The defence is all settled with Haynes back. Haynes himself was very good, and Patton was very good with four goals. They both hit the 90 to 100 range, depending on what format you were in. Toby Green, man, what, just come on, man. Like, some news people might want to see. Jake Hopper, 80 Dream Team and 55 Super Coach, did this in 60% game time. So 16 disposals, 6 marks, 4 tackles and a goal. If he's if Toby Green's missing, surely Hopper gets a little bit more game time, hopefully in the 70, low 70 range. But even one for next year, he's certainly a black booker, although fantasy players will know his name, I'm sure. And Delidio also, he started well again, but he's you know, clearly just getting miles into the legs and can't run out the game. But he, you know, I don't think you could play him from a fantasy perspective until maybe round 23, if you're playing in that, if you see a good round 22 score. But at mine, he's definitely a benching option, even if you're just keeping him away from people you're playing against.
Yeah, no, fair call there. Looked pretty fit too, Brett Delidio. He had the barrel chest and looked like he'd drop a few kilos as well.
Well, I was looking in a mirror. I thought, Jono, he's maybe a little bit more tan than me, but that's about it, really.
Yeah, it's been pretty warm up in Sydney. It was like 22 degrees over the weekend.
Thank Christ for global warming.
Moving on to the early game, it was Sydney taking on an alleged football team in Fremantle. It was all over at quarter time. It was 8-1. What can you say about Freo, Statesman?
Yeah, not too much. We might talk about Sydney a little bit more, but it's really hard to judge this because I think the scoring was actually quite inflated just because of the situation of the game. So I don't think it's a good read for future for both teams, to be quite honest. I don't know what happened to the Freo crew. Obviously didn't turn up. The classic example of that is Lockie Neal getting a massive 32 points after his 150 the week before. No one would have picked that. Now, I'm sure there would have been people in the salary cap formats actually picking up Lockie Neal after he hit his form, and I would have expected and called it in Statesman Skipper that that form would have continued. How wrong we all were, unfortunately. So we'll go through the Sydney squad. Obviously, they just had a day out. Franklin, 129. Parker, 113. Dan Hand, 112. Kirk Tippett, gentlemen, back in the ton mark. Is this the return and the game he needed? Are we going to see this for the remainder of the season? Because certainly a period of last year, I think the first 6 to 8 rounds, Kirk Tippett was in the leading three ruckmen.
No, I think it's just a byproduct of them spanking Freo. They saw it the week before, he didn't score that well.
Fair call. So 111 for Tippett. Isaac Heaney got back in the points. He's had a pretty poor month. 109 from him. Kieran Jack as well, 109. And two of the defenders that had made us a few points but certainly have dropped off, they both got in the 90s in Zach Jones and Lloyd, 94 and 93 respective. It's not much to write home about for the Fremantle Dockers. Only Nat Fyfe turned up with 107. And going down that list, it looked pretty ugly. Luke Ryan, 35. Lockie Neal, 32. Brad Hill, one of the top 6 forwards, scored 31, gentlemen. It was just not a good day. Their second highest scorer was Tabernard, would you believe it? So that's how bad of a day Fremantle had. So we won't talk too much more about that. I don't think that's a trend. It's just a bad day. We all have it.
Certainly do. Moving on to the next game, it was the Cats taking on the Tigers, and what was supposed to be match of the round, it was a pretty good match. The umpires helping Geelong over the line yet again. Paddy Dangerfield starred, getting you over 130 in both formats with a lazy 10 tackles. Menegola, with Duncan and Selwood out, jumped into the midfield as well, going 110 Dream Team, just under the ton in Supercoach, again with 10 tackles. How he didn't turn up in Supercoach, I don't know. We spoke on the show last week, who would get those midfield minutes if it was going to be Thurlow or Murdoch. Turns out it was Cam Guthrie, and played a really good game. Got to the ton in Dream Team, 97 Supercoach, so if you played him on the weekend, well done to you. Joel Selwood as well. Steve didn't believe me he could score well. He did. Got you just under the ton in both formats.
Joel Selwood, he got nothing, mate.
That's his brother Scott, just wearing the Joel Selwood mask. That's all it was. 13 tackles. I'm used to saying Joel's name every bloody week. 13 tackles for him. Jake Collard-Jasny probably played his best fantasy game for the Cats, getting 104 in Supercoach. Harry Taylor was fantastic. Went 110 in Supercoach as well with 4 goals. Yes, Steve?
Oh, no, I'm just watching the score of the Collingwood game.
Oh, okay.
Did Port like come out just half a team?
Just going nowhere quickly?
It's 8 points now.
Oh, wow. Molly Wines has gone missing again.
He got reported as well for a bump on Tom Langdon. We'll get to that. Zach Tui as well was fantastic for the Cats, going 105. But the Tigers, they did try their best, but as I said, the umpires got the Cats over the line.
I think also some pretty damn sloppy ball use going forward, Jono, would cost the Tigers, because they butchered a number of goals, especially running into open goals. Quite disappointing, I thought. And the ball use belies that. You've got Cochin, Dusty, Hooley, Lambert, all these. Three of them win at 50%, one of them win at 66%. These are the main ball users. Not good enough against the... Well, I mean, Geelong are up there and about. No, they're not a full-strength team, let's be honest. So I think they'd be pretty disappointed. But the big man, Dion Prestia, what's going on? He's just turned around quite a sluggish season, but back-to-back huge weeks. Is he over his injury? Was he carrying a niggle? What was going on there? What are your thoughts, guys?
I reckon you hit the nail on the head. He's just gotten over what it is, got some solid training into him, and I think he's got a nice little role there in following the best player around. Not a big tag, but just basically checking him, a loose check on him, which is suiting him to a team.
And keep an eye up, because you'll be a late-round pickup next year just purely because of average. You'll just sit down quite low on the list.
Yeah, I've got those thoughts written down as well. Like, he should be value next year with the ad average. But 117 Dream Team, 126 Supercoach, 29 touches and 9 tackles. I love that score build. Hooley, Dusty, Lambert, Cochin, Vlosten, Brown and Ellis all scored you pretty well in both formats. Certainly pretty happy there. Caddy got injured in the first quarter with a hamstring, so I think you can probably forget about playing him. I know Rance scored well in Supercoach, but he was smashed by Harry Taylor, just being isolated one-on-one, and that was quite strange, I thought. And as Jono mentioned, actually, in the late pickup, he didn't have a big fantasy score, only in the 60s in this game, but I really like Daniel Rioli, and I think he's someone to keep an eye on over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, and bloody Rance as well. Gets up, only had a couple of intercept marks, went 50 points in Supercoach in that last quarter as well.
Oh, well, they just wave their magic wand, invent the score. Do you have him in your team? Do you have him in your... This is the champion day. Do you have him in your team? Yeah, give him another 10. Don't worry about it.
Good bloke rule. Come on, a few more points.
That's how Nick Nat scores. He's got like 30 Dream Team and 120 Supercoach. Oh, it was contested. That's fine.
Yeah. Contested knock-on, was it?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But there was a game up in Queensland. For those who didn't know, it was between the Brisbane Lions and the Gold Coast Suns. Gold Coast had a real good crack at it. People thought that with the sack coach rule that they'd come out and win the next game. But Brisbane looked good. They looked really good, and the future's looking good for them.
And it's a bit of a myth, the sack coach. It's only a 50-50 ratio, actually, gentlemen, just so you're aware. yeah, played with a fair bit of emotion, Gold Coast to start with, but the midfield quality of Brisbane took over, led by Dane Beams. What a brilliant month of scoring. I know he only got 80 last week, but 80 surrounded by four 140s, which is a remarkable scoring period. A case to celebrate, Tom Rockliffe finally got a ton, his first one since round eight. I don't know if we're going to see this continuing, boys, or this is just a one-out-of-the-box thing. It was the Gold Coast. Your thoughts?
I'm not buying it.
No.
Neither Fair enough. Steph Martin, 112, so it was good to see him actually getting a fair bit of the ball again. Lewis Taylor's, look, he's had a great season. Picked him up late in the draft. He's been fantastic this year, averaging around the 80 as a forward. He's a good little late pickup. Ryan Bastanac, who we talked about ad nauseum for being a waiver wire option, has continued his good form with 90. Sam Mays, again, another one we talked about, the waiver wire, averaging over 80 as a defender, 88 for him. And Dane Zorko was a pretty quiet gentleman. It's like any time he gets any major pressure, he seems to struggle a little bit with the scoring, just the 82. For the Gold Coast, not too much to write home about. Tuke Miller looked like he was absolutely going to blitz it at halftime. Looked like a massive ton was on the way, but he just finished just below the ton. Jack Martin, who's been in good form in recent times, got you well and truly over the ton of the 118. Dave Swallow, who's certainly been unreliable this year, 104. Aaron Hall, remarkable recovery from coming off at halftime. Last week with 44 with a hamstring injury, popped out the following week and scored a point per minute, 95 minutes, 95 points. And Jared Harbrow as well continued his up and down year, having a decent game with 94. And seeing we've talked about him on the waiver wire a bit, Matt Rosa got another decent score with an 81. But not a fantastic game, let's face it, boys. But if you've got players, decent players playing against the Gold Coast, I think there might be some point scoring for the last couple of rounds.
Yeah, totally agree with that as well. Moving on to the first Saturday night game, it was the Bombers taking on the Crows. It was a pretty entertaining match, but the Crows ran away by 40-odd points there. Josh Jenkins, in superb form, got you the 130 Dream Team, 121 Supercoach, 3 goals and 11 marks. Been in some pretty ripping form since the bye rounds. Brody the Butcher is just getting it done week after week now. Went 120 both formats, 9 marks, 2 goals, was fantastic. Rory Atkins popped up and had one out of the blue. My boy went 130 super coach, 103 dream team. Actually got some contested possession, had about 9 or 10 contested possessions for a bloke who plays on the outside, so pretty good there. McKay, some pretty good scores for him, 102 and 19 super coach. Richie Douglas, having a pretty good year, 97 dream team, 116 super coach, kicked a nice goal as well. And Matty Crouch, another one who we tipped here to have a breakout. The Draft Doctors, 96 Dream Team, 139 Supercoach points. Thank you very much. Had a really good game, as opposed to his brother, who was pretty quiet, but we get that from time to time.
Although, gentlemen, he needs to learn how to build a score in AFL fantasy. It's just quite remarkable. 35 possessions and you don't turn up. It's a bit of a concern, isn't it?
It's only his, what, third year, so we'll get him over the preseason. We'll teach him how to build a score. That's fine.
Who are we talking about?
Matt Crouch.
He didn't turn. Well, he got 140 in Supercoach.
Only 96 in Dream Team.
Well, he should tackle more.
Should mark more.
But he also got some good scores from Rory Laird, Rory Sloan, who did go off for a little bit with that knee injury. Good personality, Tom Lynch was pretty good as well. But the Bombers, they were up and about early.
They certainly were, but none of them really took the scoreboard with fantasy scoring that well. It was only Goddard, Hurley and Zacha that actually tunned up, gentlemen, which was a little bit disappointing. I put half my house on Heppel to continue his great form, especially with Zeret out. I just thought he would play that link-up player, but only managed to get 74 on AFL Fantasy. Joe Danaher, good patches in the games, only 76. And Andrew McGrath continued his great debut season. He's going to be an absolute ripper when we talk about fantasy football, and a pretty decent footballer as well. He scored the 88. There wasn't too much else to write home about, gents.
Fair enough. And the next game was at Domain Stadium, where West Coast took on Carlton, and Carlton were brave for four quarters there. It was just right at the end where West Coast kicked away with the match.
Well, and no one. Sorry. Well, West Coast is being the home. But I will go quickly through West Coast because there's not much to write home about. They just forgot to score for the day. There was just something quite odd about that game. McGovern top scored with 88. JJK ran about the same mark but played a really good game of football. Jack Redden, 86. Elliot Yeo, I don't think he's turned up in the second half of the season, gentlemen. He's been more consistent than he normally has, but he's just not popping out the big scores. And his average, which was number one in the forward line for the majority of the season, is now below the ton. Sam Mitchell, 79, and Andrew Gaff, 77, was reasonably disappointing, seeing he was scoring pretty well by half time. And we seem to have lost an island, gentlemen. Sheed is nowhere to be found.
But that was always going to happen, wasn't it, with Mitchell and Pritis and all the guys in?
Yeah, it's you're probably right there, but Marston was the one to make space. I know he had little or no impact the week before, but I think Sheed's got to be given that midfield time. That's where the future is, but maybe you're just giving some farewell time. But load up on Sheed for next year, gentlemen, with both Mitchell and Pritis gone.
Yeah, it's one of the things we sort of talked about in the off-season is that if you win 15% of your team's clearances, you're generally around going to average a ton. So I just look at Mitchell and Pritis and these guys, and they're all sort of pinching each other's clearances because it's just generally a way to build a score. Like, look at what happened when Scott Thompson went out of Adelaide this year. You know, Crouch's went kaboom. So, yeah, get on Sheed for next year. Should be a ripper.
What are your thoughts on Redden for next year as well?
I think he'd be great late value.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to want him. He'll be free, and he'll be good. Anyway, on to the Blues. Moving the ball quicker means less possession, less marks. That's the next step of their development, to get it to their forwards. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's why there's, you know, when it all clicks, they'll peel back the big score they let go with all their turnovers. So that's how it is. Murphy, Gibson, Cruiser continue to just mash with nice big tons for you. Charlie Kurt, Jesus, how good's Charlie Kurt now going to be?
He's a star.
Unbelievable. Continues his amazing second half of the year. He's right into contention to win that Rising Star medal. 104 Dream Team, 122 Supercoach, and you got to love a guy playing 90% game time at this stage of his career when you're that sort of size. Sam Kerridge continues to be very good as a fill-in for your midfield. And I just wanted to talk quickly. SPS. Patrice Skeeton, looking good for the future. Got the wheel, so if those guys have got the big clearance players on the inside, he's a bit of polish through it. But Cade Simpson and Sam Doherty, people are sort of potting these guys for their scores of the last few weeks. It's unrealistic to think that a defender's going to average 120. Just like after Scott Selwood, I think Jono, he had 18 tackles in his first two matches this year. It's unrealistic to expect this to continue. Now, if Carlton have changed their game style and Doherty and that are playing a little bit more accountable football and there's less chipping around in the back line, naturally their scores are going to decrease. If they're going to score your 80s and 90s as a defender, that's still pretty good. But I would certainly give up expecting the 140, 150 range that especially Sam Doherty was scoring through so much of the year. And I actually think Doherty is going to be a big potential bust for next season, because I just think Carlton are going to, through their progression as a side, they'll just get rid of that style of gameplay. What do you think about that?
I've got no doubt you're right. I don't think a huge bust, but a huge bust compared to what he scored this year. I think Doherty's going to be that pretty secure 95 to 100-point scorer. Interesting, his move to the midfield in recent times. I don't know whether that's his future or not, and I'll be interested to see what you guys think of that. I think he's huge value if he remains a defender, and I love him in that sweeping role. But if he ends up being a midfielder, sorry, gents, I think he's a top 10 to 20 midfielder.
Oh, look, I can see the Blues using him, rolling him into the midfield as an extra number, but I don't see him moving in permanently. He's too valued down back, as you said, in that sweeping role. So I think he'll stay there and be a top 10 defender for a long time to come.
Yeah, I just think people are going to draft him top 5 overall next year, and I just think he's not going to return value on that without knowing who's in the defensive pool, to be honest. But
yeah. No, good call. The early game on Sunday afternoon was the Demons taking on the Saints. It seemed as if Melbourne were cruising to a victory, but the Saints had a fair crack, and there's only was it 4 goals in the end. GOAT. Do we know who the GOAT is for Melbourne, Steve? You seem to be played a...
Oh, baby. I wanted to bring him up on the waiver show, but he's 70% owned.
Well, you still can. We'll let this one slide. He's at 70%. Cam Peterson, for those who are wondering who we're talking about, without Hogan and Watts, he's just sitting there in the forward line, kicked a couple of snags, pinch hitting in the ruck. He was doing everything. It looked like he was hurting people too. Like, he was really laying the smack down on those Saints players. 125 Dream Team, 137 Super Coach. Was really good. Nathan Jones, second week back. Start against the Saints, 118 Dream Team, 128 Super Coach. Thank you very much. Alex Neil Bullen was fantastic, 112 Dream Team for him, 95 Super Coach. James Harms, he was electrifying all day, presenting well, kicked you the 3 goals, just the tons in both formats for him as well. Jordan Lewis was great, got you the Super Coach ton, not so much the Dream Team. Clayton Oliver, loves playing the Saints. Got you the ton in Super Coach, having a really fantastic year for his second year. Only the 94 in Dream Team. Michael Hibbard, got you the ton in Super Coach. And I mentioned Angus Brayshaw in the late week pickups, and he was fantastic, scoring 90s in both formats. But he looked pretty gassed by the end of that game. So be interesting to see how he rolls out next week. But one to look for Gus Brayshaw, because I'm certainly a fan. Moving on to the Saints, good old one-eyed Jack Billings. He was fantastic, took 9 marks, but a bit inaccurate, kicked a 1-goal 3. I don't know if you saw it, but he got poked in the eye and his whole eye closed over and just really affected his goal kicking. Got you the 135 Dream Team, 112 Super Coach. Luke Dunstan, one of Steve's favourite.
Mate, his last month has been unbelievable.
Yeah, he has been. 88 Super Coach, 110 Dream Team. Shane Savage, he's been fantastic since coming into that team. About 95 in both formats. Dylan Robertson having a fantastic year. Could be in All-Australian contention for our fantasy team. Going to be a hard one to pick in for defence this year. 92 and 100 for him. And Billy Longer, got you the ton in Supercoach yet again. He's putting together some nice scores there as well, and 85 in Dream Team for him. I actually had a look at Billy Longer. He's 85% owned. Can you believe that?
Yeah. There's a lot of two-ruck leagues out there. And if you're playing the ultimate footy thing, there's designated bench spots. So, yeah, I believe it.
And the next game was the Hawks taking on North Melbourne down there in Tassie, the northern part of Tassie. It's the Hawks' home game. Jack Gunston going full ham, 127 Dream Team, 124 Super Coach with 11 marks. Isaac Smith, again, he got 11 marks, 2 goals, big scores of 124, 118. Luke Hodge in his last game down there in Tasmania got to the ton in both formats, took 9 marks as well. Tommy Mitchell had the tag on him early, but busted through that, got going 118 Dream Team, 106 Super Coach. Luke Bruce kicking 4 goals for the Hawks, tonning up in both formats. Ricky Henderson, also fantastic. Just a lot of marks in this game after turnovers from the North boys. Jared Ruffhead was good. James Sicily, fantastic. 8 and 9 marks, respectively. A lot of good scores here. Billy Hartung, as we spoke about. Big boy McAvoy got you the ton as well. So plenty to like about the Hawks finishing up in 2017. But how did the ruse go there, Steve?
Not so good, Jono. Not so good. Although, to be fair, they played pretty well. But they made a bit of noise in the second half, but they lost it in the first. Just through bad ball use, quite frankly. You know, the Hawks were quite good and made them pay. So, look, Robbie Tarrant is an absolute star. That's all you can say. Luke McDonald having a ripping season. We actually got a question from at Bangers and Mash 85 on Twitter. Is Luke McDonald going to keep defensive status next year, boys?
Interesting one. Can he have defensive mid? That'd be all right.
Yeah, I could see defensive mid. He's going to be a tough one. I mean, he was planted down there a lot because the ball was down there. So I think he's an interesting one for your keeper leagues. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with him, but he's had a great year. Pruce got you the 80s. Sean Higgins polished through the midfield. He got you a nice ton around that. Andrew Swallow got around a ton in both formats. So those four guys all doing pretty nicely for you. There was a lot of bad scores, though. Cunnington was tagged in the 70s, under 70% time on ground. And Todd Goldstein, gentlemen. I wonder if he's just completely checked out mentally. And quite frankly, I wouldn't blame him because he's got to have question marks about his future at that club. They've dropped him. They played him in the twos. We know Pruce is going well. They played Majak over him. Like, is it a mental thing? Because 32 Dream Team, 32 Supercoach, 84% time on ground, 4 disposals. I mean, what do you do with Todd Goldstein?
Yeah. No trade value in fantasy or real life now. So, but
yeah, if you've got him, you just got to hold on to him in a keeper, and hope that something happens in the preseason that's going to help his career, and that is really become the number one ruckman somewhere else.
Would you trade him though over the preseason? If you could,
it's just no value. I think he's one that you just hope. There's no point putting him on the waiver wire because there is still a big chance that he comes back a different player next year.
Well, I think it's interesting. Keep going.
He's still got 2 or 3 years of real quality rucking and real quality scoring in him. But like these ruckmen, it's really hard to pin who the top two are going to be each year. Since Coxie's left, we've had the change of the best two ruckmen every single year. So it really is a guessing. And whether you say that Cruiser and Grundy are the two next year, it's quite questionable.
Yeah, look, I think he still carries some brand value for me. The AFL trade period wraps up pretty early, so I'd certainly hold on till then before I made any calls. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It depends how deep my keepers went.
That's true. And there is one last game being played at the moment. It is Port Adelaide taking on the Magpies. As at the time of recording, it's about 10 minutes into the last quarter. So how are the Power going there, Steve?
Well, they've just kicked away again. They had a pretty handy halftime lead, basically through Collingwood's disgusting ball use. Shock, horror. But Collingwood closed the gap. Power have kicked away again. Tyler Adams is doing a job for Collingwood, still side bottom. There's a bit of turnover ball in this game, so the defenders are scoring pretty well. The Sharon Goat, gentlemen, Sharon Goat looks like getting close to the ton again in his 12th game, mind you. So just pencil in the Sharon Goat next year if you're playing. Jack Chris doing all right. So John DeGoey again, down. Who knows? But on the Port Adelaide side, a lot of good scores going around and certainly checking at the... it seems like everyone's kicked a goal, apparently, because...
Pretty much.
No one's kicked more than two. I think it's just everyone's got a goal. Charlie Dixon seems to be doing well in the ruck against Mason Cox. Surprise, surprise. Who would have thunk it? Ollie Wines is doing Ollie Wines things, doing well for a while and then going missing. And, you know, it is what it is. There's no big surprises from this game. Oh, Ben Reed's kicked 4 goals for Collingwood, so that move has actually worked for Collingwood.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but there's no big surprises.
Steve in their home league for a spot in the grand final. I'm 26 behind. It's about 15 minutes to go, so I need Westhoff to lift. Just come on.
You've lost the unlosable match. Jono, I'm just going to set the table for the listeners here, just so they can know the utter disregard you've shown the fantasy league. You're playing an opponent who not only has had Josh Caddy go off injured in the first quarter sitting on 14, who surely would have at least scored 60 because it's Josh Caddy. But you're playing an opponent who is the owner of Scott Pendlebury, Mitch Duncan, and JPK. So this is the bare bones team. Man, if you lose this, it'll make my loss feel a lot better. I'll put it that way.
Oh, look, I'm going to lose. I can tell you that right now.
No, because I don't care what you say now, because listeners, Jono has this thing where he basically throws himself under the bus, says every match is unwinnable, and somehow thinks that he's going to bad luck. He's going to reverse early crow himself into a victory. It's not going to happen, my friend.
I never said I was going to win this. No, it's all that, you guys that, talking that, me up. You're talking that, me up, and now look, the choke's on like Statesman.
Thank Christ.
God.
That's a
How did
choke.
I cop that in the crosshair?
I had to bring you to the conversation somehow.
Oh, unbelievable.
There's a lot of nervous people, gentlemen. It's fantasy finals time. It's, I'm excited.
Time recording. It's not even hot today, and I'm sweating. That's how intense it is.
It's a great time of year. It's a great time of year. I look forward to 2 weeks when the season begins.
Yes. But that wraps up the show for this week. Just a couple more weeks of the home and away season finishes and the real finals begin. Hope you do make your fantasy final grand finals and win them. If you do, please do let us know. You can do that by putting up your pictures of your trophy on Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website as well, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Or you can send us a pic on Facebook. Just search the Draft Doctors there. And remember, we are all year round as well. So once the season wraps up, we will be continuing through. We've got our fantasy All Australian teams. We've got our little black book show where we're just going to talk about who we're going to pencil in for next year as well. And we've got a few other great ideas as well coming
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely, we got the keepers, the keep trade cut show, which is going to be awesome. We stole that from another podcast in the States, and it's fantastic. All the keeper fans out there, you'll love it. And the DPP additions and subtractions.
Yeah, as well as our you suck show.
That'll be exciting. It sounds like Statesman's journeying over to the mainland.
I hope he gets his visas and immigration all sorted before he gets here.
I always think, you know, Statesman's funny because he's kind of like, do you remember growing up there were those Oral-B ads and we can't show you his face.
Rob the Dentist?
Yeah, Rob the Dentist. I think Statesman might actually be Rob the Dentist because he has dentist money.
That is true.
Gentlemen.
All right, that wraps up for the show for this week. Good luck in your matchups, and if you did win your flag this week, please do let us know, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.